We're in the Good Shepherd chapter, but the appointed gospel doesn't have a lot of explicit Good Shepherd stuff. John 10, verses 22 to 30. This is a feast of syntactical, text-critical, and theological conundra. Is that the plural of conundrum? I'm not sure. Well, let's just jump right in here with both foots. Verse 22. Egeneta tata ta enkainea entois Yerusalemois. And the, literally, I suppose you say, the dedications. Enkainidzo means to dedicate or renew. And the plural noun here is a reference to Hanukkah, right? It's the feast of dedication. Celebrating, as you probably remember, it's a non-Old Testament festival, but it's the Maccabean revolt and the purification of the temple in Jerusalem, I think in 165 or something like that, in the 160s B.C. So it's the Feast of Dedication, and then the Feast of Dedication happened in Jerusalem. It was winter. Now, any time in John, you know, because Jesus is fulfilling, you know, all of the things. He's the new temple, he's the presence, he's the Passover, he's everything. You immediately want to say, well, is he sort of the dedication, right? And the answer, as it almost always is in John, is probably. And I wonder, although the text doesn't make too much explicitly of it, if there's a fairly savage irony here in that he is in the temple, and the reader already knows that the presence of God dwells, the glory of God dwells in Jesus, right? And yet at this feast in which the true worship of God was rededicated, they oppose the very one in whom the presence of God and the worship of God in spirit and in truth will take place. So I just wonder if there's a little bit of irony going on there. And again, as usual in John, if you ask, is there irony going on? The answer is almost always C. It was winter. I don't want to make too much of that other than the fact that it was winter. Verse 23, and Jesus, peri epate, was walking in the temple in the Stoa tou Solomonas. This is on the east side. I looked in my Oxford Bible Atlas just to make sure I had this right. The east side of the temple, I guess what you're looking at the map, the east side of the temple court is Solomon's colonnade. Apparently, Raymond Brown says, closed in on the east side from the winter wind. So Jesus is walking there. It's on the outside of the whole temple courtyard structure. Verse 24, therefore, the Jews ekiklosan, they surrounded him and Elegon, they perhaps began to say, or kept on saying to him. Now here's the syntactical, it's not syntax, it's just what does this phrase mean? Haos patetem tichein hemon aires, literally, until when are you taking our life, right? Now if you look at Bauer and Gingrich and Danker, they give a parallel or two that this phrase can probably mean something like, keep us in suspense, right? And there is some parallel in this regard. Interestingly, this is the same phrase in the Septuagint, to lift up, you know, to you, O Lord, I lift up my life. I mean, it's the same phrase there, but there, I think it's a good example of, it depends on who's doing the lifting up of whose life, right? But it's an unusual phrase. And some of the commentators suggest, once again, that perhaps they're speaking more truly than they know. And the reference is actually made in one commentator to 11, chapter 11. I think it's about verse 48. Oh, yeah. If we allow him thus, all will believe in him, and the Romans will come, and they will take away our place and the nation. Well, maybe, just maybe, how long, until when will you take away our life? Well, if you persist in your unbelief, he will take away. I mean, judgment will come upon those who reject him, just as a possibility. At any rate, it apparently does mean, how long will you keep us in suspense? Then it gets a little easier. If you are the Christ, Epe, speak to us with plainness or with openness. Speak to us openly. But he won't because they don't believe. Verse 25, Jesus answered to them, I said to you, and you do not believe. This has been going on in John since chapter 5, you know, this controversy about, you know, you've had all the witness that you need, but you still don't believe. And then, interestingly, Jesus points to his erga, his works. Jesus never in John refers to his miracles as signs. He himself always calls them his works, ta erga mu. Ta erga ha ego poio en to onomati tu patros mu. The works which I am doing in the name of my Father. Well, keep that one in mind because we're coming up to the Father and I are one. This unity of action and purpose, which is unshakable and unbreakable, and we would argue essential, with a capital E. These things, the resumptive pronoun, John does this a lot, these works, martire peri emu, these bear witness, are bearing witness about me. So that the miracles of Jesus, the signs of Jesus, have a witness value. They say who he is, right? If you could just see them, if you just believe. Verse 26, but you, little emphasis there, do not believe because you are not of the sheep, the mine ones. Again, John likes to use the possessive adjective. It's not all that common in other authors. So the sheep, the mine ones. Now we get the good shepherd stuff, and this picks up from earlier in chapter 10, right? Now more positively, and this, you know, would be an opportunity a little more readily applicable to the Christian congregation to whom you're preaching, unless you're invited to preach to a bunch of non-Christians, then you could stop right there. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. Verse 27, the sheep, the mine ones, akuuzen tes, well, tes phonesmu akuuzen. Akuo often, and with some unpredictability, takes a genitive direct object. So my sheep hear my voice, kago genosko auta, and I know them, and they follow me. Akolutheo takes the dative, as you see there. Kago didome autois zoein ionion, and I am giving to them, or I give to them, eternal life. Kai ume apolontai eis ton iona. This is the verb from Hades, apolimi, because it has all these irregular principal parts. The aorist middle is apolamein, right? And then the temporal augment drops out, so the omega goes back to omicron. And then you have the long connecting vowel, the omega there. So this is u me plus the aorist subjunctive middle. Now, you knew that, Paul, didn't you? That's right. He's with me all the way. He's tracking. That's okay. This is the verb from Hades. It's okay to miss this one. And apolemi means to destroy, or in the middle or passive, it means to be destroyed, to perish. They will certainly not perish forever. Kai uch. Harpase. Harpazo means to snatch or to take. Tis is the subject, and a certain one will not snatch outa, them, neuter plural, because sheep is neuter plural, out of my hand. Interestingly here, we have Jesus' hand in verse 28. We're about to get the Father's hand in verse 29. This is verses 27 and 28. You know, the contrast is with Jesus, the people who are conversing with him here. They don't believe. They didn't believe the works, and they don't believe who Jesus really is, so it won't do any good for him to tell them, right? But his sheep do hear his voice, and he knows them, and they follow him, and he gives to them eternal life. It has to do with hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd, acknowledging what he says and believing it. And when that happens, he gives eternal life, and they are absolutely secure in him. I mean, and this does pick up the, what did you call it, Tim, when it moves from the shepherd leading to the shepherd escorting? Yeah, it's the same kind of protection. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29. My Father, now we hit the text variant nightmare. The way the text is printed, it has to be translated something like this. My Father, now we have an accusative a neuter, we have a, let's see, with respect to which he has given to me all things. Well, you could do it, you could take the ha as nominative, I suppose, but then it's nonsensical. So my father, with respect to which he has given to me, is greater, but it's neuter, not masculine, of all things. And you can have that, you can have that make sense. So you can translate it like this to smooth it out a little bit. You take that ha, relative pronoun, as an accusative of reference. And so you translate, my father, with respect to that which he has given to me, comma, is greater, but you'd expect a masculine comparative adjective there, not a neuter one, to match with father, is greater than all things. If you spend some time perusing the apparatus down below, you can see that many manuscripts have, instead of a neuter relative pronoun, they have the masculine one, hus, which is much easier. My father, who has given to me, is greater than all. Okay? So it's a little bit of the most difficult reading is almost nonsensical. And the commentaries will discuss that. And no one is able to snatch out of the hand of the Father. Oh, we had Jesus' hand a second ago. Now we have, you know, you can't snatch from Jesus' hand. Now you can't snatch from the Father's hand. And then we have verse 30. Ego kai ha pater hen esmen. I and the Father are one thing, right? Or one. Now, here's a good example of what grammar can and cannot do. So, you want to be a Sabellian? You can do it with this verse. You want to be an Arian? You can do it with this verse. But actually, you want to be a full-blown Trinitarian? You can do it with this verse, but you can only do any of those things if you don't read any of the context. Because as Jesus goes on to say, his argument, when they want to stone him, you know, he says, well, you're getting aufgeregt because I said the Father and I are one. The scripture says about, you know, the Israelites, you are gods. So if they can call them gods, how come I can't be the Son of God? It's really an unexpected argument, okay? But what do we have in this text? We have a unity of hands, if you will, right? A unity of purpose, of work, of testimony, of everything, right? And this is the security for the sheep. Now, when you take that and realize that, oh, that's in the same gospel as, on the one hand, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And on the other hand, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Well, of course this is, you know, Trinitarian and Orthodox and da-da-da-da-da. But the point is that you can't make the grammar do all of the work for you in this particular verse. But what it does point to specifically, again, is this common work and unity between the Father and the Son, and it's on behalf of the sheep. See? And it's on behalf of the sheep. And that's one, that would be one good way to preach the text. And I can see that a number of the people who began the session are certainly not my sheep because they're no longer hearing my voice. So that means it's time to stop, right? It's time to go to class.